All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to American Vindicta. I'm your host, Doug Thornton. This is episode 63. It's February 17th, 2022. I was doing a little bit of research, and I wanted to get back onto the trail of the Nazis. I've taken some time off from that to let that evil seep out of my brain, but you know, what's funny about it is that I find that I can't get enough of the amount, the depth that their claws sunk into the fabric of America. When we previously left off, we had discussed where the Nazis had escaped to, and prominent Nazis that had escaped, those who were executed at the Nuremberg trials, and some of the Nazis who even escaped to America and Canada. But we're going to talk about a little bit of the Naziistic movements in America that were pre-World War II for America, you know, the 1940s. And upon doing my research, and I don't, when I do my research, I do my best to go to museums, to very historically accredited resources. I don't go to just the random guy's, you know, website and look up his dissertations about Nazi Germany. I'm doing my best to follow the lead of historians. Because there is a story that is written there in our past that needs to be repeated from time to time, so that people like Justin Trudeau don't repeat the past sins of his father, whom many say could be Fidel Castro. And if you look at pictures side by side, holy crap, is there some similarities? Hey, you know, I'm going to let those rumors fly. I think they're fun. I think Justin Trudeau deserves every pie thrown at him. But for me, I want to get back into another form of research, uncovering the footprints of Nazis in America. I say that because I think it's important. I think that the Nazi movement, and even a president who supported Nazism, should be noted in the annals of history more diligently. It's spoken of a lot, and it's talked about here and there, but it's really not, I guess you say, it's not expounded upon. Maybe because we lost the trail. Maybe the scent went cold. Maybe Americans stopped caring after we won the war. But obviously, just like after the fall of Mao Zedong, communism never left China, and it implanted itself here as a deadly pathogen in America. And we see it in today's youth. We see it in many of our political leaders and many business moguls who are aligned with communist China. Well, before it was communist China, it was Nazi Germany. Now, we're going to take a strange path here. Like I said, I surprised myself upon reading this material. And what I'm going to read to you is from the NationalWorldWar2Museum.org. Once again, very well-accredited site, you would think, right? And it's quite a very well-wrote article until you get to the end. And then we start to see what is the type of poison that is in America. I get so upset when I start to read stuff like this, because you would think that World War II and all the atrocities that happened, you would think that this dipstick who wrote this article very well could have left his political opinions out of it. at the end, you're going to hear what I'm talking about. And then we're going to go over to another form of extremism that's in America. I think what I need to do is I need to just start talking about all the extremist groups that I know of and that I've dealt with. And maybe that'll shine some light on just how much of a maelstrom of extremist ideologies America really is. And what's funny is that these people who literally tout they spout racist lies and propaganda from the left, and also those from the extreme right, they don't want to meet anybody in the middle. Because in the middle are your average day-by-day Americans and the good people who immigrate to this country legally, who want a better life, who want to stand upon the pillars of the founders of this country, and they want to see America prosper and go forward the way God intended it to be. The problem with that is the moment we start to chip at this iceberg, what ends up happening is people come out with their ideologies and they say, "Whoa, Jack, what you're saying and what I'm saying are kind of similar, but you're that color and I'm this color, so we're obviously not speaking the same lingo." Racism. Listen to me, folks. Racism will be the final nail in the coffin for Americans. Because at the end of the day, these politicians that you hear me talk about so much, that you see on your own TV, in the news, lying to you, and being caught lying, like Hillary Clinton and all the fiasco that's coming out after the Bull Durham report. And there's a history of that, a plethora of that. It's in your face that they lie to you. It's in your face that they spread discontent, yet they say you spread disinformation if you disagree with them. And then they say, based off the power that they give themselves, that you are the extremist, when it, in fact, our political leaders are the extremist. Not just that they have extremist political ideas, they have extremist political goals. They want to, as Barack Hussein Obama said, they want to fundamentally change this country. I agree with you, former president. I too want to fundamentally change this country. Just not the way that you want. I don't want racism. I don't want communism. I don't want socialism. I don't want Nazism. I don't want Bolsheviks, I don't want oligarchs, I don't want a monarchy. I want what most other Americans want. The ability to practice my religion, to speak out when I see a problem, to carry a firearm that is a God-given right for me to protect myself and others, to include my family. And then I want you to stay the hell out of my business and leave me the hell alone. Your job, federal government, your job, federal government, is to protect the nation from exterior enemies. Do we not have enough problems on the outside of our borders, federal government, that you then have to turn your sight inward and then create problems on the interior? Fabricated problems. Fabricated false flags. Well thought of. Well funded. Led by you and your political lackeys and your lynch mobs and your assassins. It won't last forever. America won't last forever. God willing, we will still be around when America is here. But right now, America is close to the death throes. We are so close to convulsing ourselves into an insanity based off of the lockdowns and the hateful rhetoric spread by the left. We can't even agree upon anything anymore. We can't be civil with one another anymore. You can't have a left-leaning protest meet up with a right-leaning protest just to share Philadelphia, brotherly love, camaraderie. Instead, they try to kill each other. Why is that? There's a goal here, to divide. The goal is to divide America, to make us weak, so that our enemies that are from without, who are not being harassed by our government very much, when the time is right, they can insert themselves into this country, not, I believe, off the guise of foreign invaders, but as invited peacekeepers. The Kigali principles are there. The presidential directives are already wrote for these occasions. What are they planning for, America? And why are we falling for it? We're going to get into this. I'm going to do my best to remain calm and sane during this episode. Try not to yell. Thank you to everyone who has been emailing me. I do enjoy the emails. Thank you to everyone who has donated. There is a donation button that's on the American Vindicta Show website. And to everyone who's actually given me show tips and ideas and material, I love it. Thank you very much. Unlike a lot of radio hosts that are out there, I do listen. If I'm not outside working in the wind and the rain, which we have right now in my part of Texas, I am typically sitting here in front of a computer doing research for hours. I'm sure, like many of you as well, you're doing your best to trying to figure out what's happening around the world and what you think is most credible. And what do you think you should be paying attention to? Well, I'm right there with you. And hopefully I can give you a little bit of research to do on your own. So stick with us. We'll be right back.
The time for political correctness is in the rearview mirror. The fact is, the American dollar is on the verge of collapse. It's been abused mightily by those in power. Massive debt, massive inflation have left Americans with few options. Most think they have no choice but to ride it out with their money in the bank. And sadly, they're going to awaken one day and all that money is going to be gone. Do you have an option? The answer is yes. Precious metals. But knowing to go into precious metals is not the same thing as knowing who to go into precious metals with. We have an answer for you. It's called Renaissance Precious Metals. It's owned and operated by the famed Steve Quayle, radio talk show host, world famous, and an expert in precious metals. Been doing the work for 34 years. So whether you're interested in gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, whatever your interest is, wherever you want to land in your escape pod, this is it. Renaissance Precious Metals can be reached at 406-586-4842. Call Steve Quayle at 406-586-4842. You can also visit them online at sqmetals.com. Ladies and gentlemen, don't wait. The collapse is underway. The time to act is now.
Okay, this is American Vindicta. We are fixing to get on to the trail of the Nazis. And many of you have told me that you really liked, the freaking like 2 weeks worth of episodes that I did over the Nazis. And I'll say it like this. If I were to really go in depth to everything that I researched, I mean, honestly, 55 minutes worth of information that I've given you, I don't know how many episodes I did, but let's just say out of 8 or so episodes, it would probably take me 2 or 3 months, honestly, of doing episodes every single day to uncover every aspect and the trench warfare of the Nazi ideology. It would probably take me 2 or 3 months just to expose it all. I don't know if anyone's gone as in-depth as I have over this, but I do implore you to do your own research. It's fascinating to me that the Nazi Empire ever existed, but I'm not surprised. What I'm surprised about is that even to this day, people deny the Holocaust. Even to this day, people still give excuses for Nazi Germany. You know, but those same people on the other side of the aisle, they also give excuses to communist China. But isn't it funny how they don't give excuses to Russia? You know, the Soviet Union killed millions and millions of people. The estimates are anywhere between 20 and 40 million people that Joseph Stalin killed, but it's not really talked about very much. I always found that strange. We're going to have to talk about old Joseph, who was a darling of the New York Times, by the way. So on the next part of my warpath, that's what we're going to do. We are going to start on the Soviet Union. We're going to talk about the KGB, lead that all the way up to current times, I'm sure. The atrocities that happened throughout the gulags and the experiences of people that were there, the ones that survived. Much like, if you don't know about this, do your own research, but Cannibal Island. Brace for impact on that one. And then once we have conquered the Soviet Union, we're going to go after Communist China. And, you know, here's a good thing about Communist China. It never went away. So we still have plenty of updated material. You know, the current largest concentration camps in the world right now, Communist China, the Uyghur Muslims. Oh, God help me. All right, so here we go. So this article is from the NationalWorldWarIIMuseum.org, and it's titled The American Nazism in Madison Square Garden. It was wrote April 14th, 2021. So many words I want to say right now, but on radio I can't. By Adam Foreman. I'm going to leave most of my opinions out on this guy. You'll probably be able to form your own after I'm done with the article. Okay, so before World War II, the German-American Bund, B-U-N-D, was one of the most successful pro-Nazi organizations in the United States. On February 20th, 1939, American Nazis gathered at Madison Square Garden for a mass rally for true Americanism. The birth of American fascism is nearly impossible to identify within the context of history. The American fascist movement in the 1930s and early 1940s, until recently, was arguably the most organized attempt to bring Nazism to the forefront of American society. See, right there, damn it, right there at the beginning, I'm already getting pissed off, until recently. So this guy is a hardcore leftist. I'm going to read you an article that has actual historical content, but it has dribblings of his narcissistic ideology. So bear with me. I'm going to do my best not to flip my desk over. Let me move my coffee, actually. I do get very upset sometimes when I read these articles, because it's like, you know, this is the World War II Museum. It's dedicated to the men and women of all races, of all religions, who fought in that war, in the atrocities that happened in that war, and then the leadings to it, and then what happened after it, and you can't keep your damn mouth shut. You can't keep your ideology to your freaking self. No one cares. Give me history. That's what I want to know. How is it the ideology of Nazism was so corrupt? Because they had extremist ideologies amongst everything that they said. Just like this douchebag that I'm reading right now can't just keep his mouth shut and his feelings to his little sensitive self. Ah. All right, I did it. I'm done. I'm calming back down. It makes me mad because both my grandfathers fought in World War II. On my dad's side, my grandfather was part of Normandy. And on my mom's side, my grandfather was at the attack for Pearl Harbor on the USS Katniss. It was a floating dry dock. So when I read stuff like this, I get emotional because that was my grandfather's. That's my history. That's our history. Leave your tainted political ideas out of it, please. Anyways, continuing. Son of a... the Bund was founded in 1936 with a goal to empower German-American citizens to spread Nazi ideology in the United States and to create an American counterpart to the German Nazi Party. The culmination of the German-American Bund's work would be a February 20th, 1939 rally at Madison Square Garden in Midtown Manhattan, where 22,000 members gathered amidst a flurry of American Nazi imagery. And there is actually a lot of pictures out there of the American Bund movement, the German-American Bund movement. In this picture that I'm looking at right here, Fritz Kuhn is the Bundesführer of the German-American Bund. He's front center with glasses if you do go to look at him. All right, so Fritz Kuhn, a German veteran of World War I, was the leader, or Bundesführer, of the German-American Bund. Following World War I, Kuhn immigrated first to Mexico, then to the United States, where he became a naturalized citizen in 1934. At its height, the Bund had organized 20 youth camps, training camps, promoted as family-friendly summer camps. Camp Siegfried in Long Island, Camp Hindenburg in Wisconsin, and Deutschhorst Country Club in Pennsylvania, where some of the camps devoted to promoting favorable views of Nazi Germany and spreading Nazi ideology in the United States. Many of you are going to make fun of me for my attempts to pronounced Deutsch again, so just bear with me. The camp's popularity grew rapidly. The New Jersey division of the Bund opened its 100-acre camp Norland at Sussex Hills in 1937, and the annual German Day festivities at Camp Siegfried in Long Island attracted some 40,000 people in 1938. 40,000 people. Here's a lovely picture of all these men giving the good old Nazi salute while holding American flags. Oh my lord. As the pro-Nazi and American fascist movement grew, so did the interests of the American government. The House Committee on Un-American Activities, HUAC, later made famous by their Cold War era investigations of suspected communist sympathizers in the United States, was formed in 1938 by Congressman Martin Dies, Jr. to address the German Bund. The Bund family summer camps and pro-Nazi organizations and individuals in the United States. Fritz Kuhn was the first witness called by Martin Dies' committee. The HUAC did not have the ability to arrest any Bund members. In fact, its conclusions were that the German-American Bund was loud and racist, but fell under the protections of the First Amendment. Both the Attorney General and the Federal Bureau of Investigation concluded that the Bund was not a threat to American security. Really? Really, FBI? God. During the hearings, the committee successfully painted the Bund as anti-American. False claims that Kuhn received orders directly from Adolf Hitler helped to discredit the German-American Bund in the press and in Congress. So much so that the Washington Post presented Chairman Dies with the Americanism Award of 1938. The height of the German-American Boone's popularity was marked by the February 1939 rally at Madison Square Garden. Kuhn and other American Nazi leaders called the event a mass demonstration for true Americanization, and used patriotic imagery alongside Nazi imagery and anti-Semitic rhetoric. Now, don't forget, Fritz Kuhn was an immigrant from Germany, and he was only a recent American citizen. 22,000 Boone members carried signs and banners with messages such as "Wake up America," "Smash Jewish communism," and "Stop Jewish domination of Christian Americans." Speakers at the rally incorporated anti-Semitic messages and Nazi propaganda throughout their speeches. Messages which were openly praised by attendants who performed Nazi salutes towards three-story tall banners of George Washington flanked by Nazi swastikas. There is a picture of that too. It's insane. In Fritz Kuhn's keynote address, he demanded that, quote, "our government be returned to the American people who founded it." The Bund's definition of Americanism was actually a concrete manifestation of German racism and hatred based on racial and religious differences. Hermann Schwinn, the West Coast leader of the Bund, reinforced that idea when he had labeled Jews as a threat to American identity and attacked New York City Mayor Fiorella LaGuardia as the Jew Lumpin' LaGuardia. On the day of the rally, Mayor LaGuardia dispatched over 1,000 police officers in anticipation of large protests outside of Madison Square Garden. 100,000 protesters gathered in the streets surrounding the garden carrying signs with phrases like, quote, "drive the Nazis out of New York," and, quote, "give me a gas mask, I can't stand the smell of Nazis." Protesters clashed with police and German-American Boone members who dared to venture outside of the safety of their security. While the rallies attended were Boone members and Nazi sympathizers, a few protesters managed to enter the garden. Isidore Greenbaum, a 26-year-old Jewish plumber, stormed the stage and screamed, "Down with Hitler!" Greenbaum, who interrupted Fritz Kuhn's speech, was brutally beaten on stage by Boone stormtroopers before police intervened. If you don't forget, the stormtroopers, brown shirts, the SA, even on American soil. Dorothy Thompson, a journalist and one of the few female news anchors of her time, also made it into this rally. Thompson worked as the head of the Berlin Bureau of the New York Times, where she was given the opportunity to interview Adolf Hitler in 1931. In her book, I Saw Hitler, she was deeply critical of Nazism and described the Führer as an insignificant man. Now, she has a quote from her book that it's quite telling to have this description of Adolf Hitler, and I think she captures it pretty well. She says, "He is formless, almost faceless. A man whose countenance is a caricature. A man whose framework seems cartilaginous without bones." She wrote, "He is inconsequent and voluble, ill-poised, insecure. He is the very prototype of the little man. The eyes alone are notable, dark gray and hyperthyroid. They have a peculiar shine which often distinguishes genius, alcoholics, and hysterics." Many of you out there, you have met those people when they have that eye shine about them, when they have a brilliant speech, or they're completely wasted off of alcohol or whatever barbiturates they've taken, or the crazy hysterics. So I'm sure you can imagine in your mind what this lady saw. I'm going to have to get this book, by the way. I've never heard of this book, so I'm going to definitely have to get it and read it, along with the 500 other books that I have. As the Nazi Party consolidated power in Germany, she was the first American journalist to be expelled from the country. During the February Bund rally in Madison Square Garden, Thompson interrupted a speaker by shouting, "Bunk!" She was quickly surrounded by Bund stormtroopers and escorted from the building. Within a year of the German-American Bund rally in Madison Square Garden, the organization and their support collapsed. The Nazi invasion of Poland in September 1939 and declarations of war from France and the United Kingdom eroded support for the American Nazi movement. Shortly after Kuhn was convicted of embezzlement of funds from the Bund and was sentenced to prison at Sing Sing Correctional Facility. Within a year, every leader of the Bund was interned or jailed as dangerous aliens. And by the end of December 1941, the U.S. government outlawed the German-American Bund. In 1942, Kuhn's citizenship was dissolved and he was deported to West Germany in 1945. The collapse of the German-American Bund was not the end of the pro-Nazi movement in the United States. The America First Committee, whose spokesperson was Charles Lindbergh, was founded in 1940 to support American isolation and Nazi appeasement. Lindbergh crossed the country to hold rallies that blamed Roosevelt and American Jews for pushing the country closer to war. The America First Committee dissolved once the United States entered World War II. All right, now we're going to get into a little bit of this guy's ideology. So, I opted on, at first, not reading this because it takes away from history. And you shouldn't be adding to or taking away from. We just need history. Raw, unedited, ugly, dirty truth. That's what I seek. That's my inquisitorial mind. I seek this. But instead, I get what I'm about to read to you. And this is what's so dangerous. This person is writing articles and then talking to people who are coming to the National World War II Museum and filling their heads with this nonsense. So here we go. Despite the short-lived histories of these organizations, American society has seen echoes of their ideology. In 1978, American Nazis attempted to march and rally in Skokie, Illinois. Okay. That's true. And then immediately, he goes to this. President Trump revived the name America First as a slogan for anti-immigrant propaganda. Today, the, quote, alt-right have taken up the mantle of white supremacy and Nazism in the United States. The Unite the Right rally marched in Charlottesville, Virginia in 2017, chanting Nazi and anti-Semitic slogans while carrying torches. Tiki torches, come on, man. Nazi flags and white supremacist imagery. Most recently, at the siege of the U.S. Capitol in January 2021, cameras caught Americans in Camp Auschwitz shirts, and then another fellow with a shirt that says 6MWE with a eagle on it. And that apparently represents 6 million wasn't enough shirts. And an abundance of anti-Semitic, fascist, and hate speech, conspiracy theories, and propaganda. The enduring Nazi and white supremacist ideologies and rhetoric in the United States remains a lasting and dangerous legacy of the 1939 German-American Bund rally at Madison Square Garden and the larger Nazi movement of the 1930s. Okay. So obviously, cherry-picking history here. He didn't talk about all the Democrats involved in the Klan. Robert Byrd, who I believe was a grand cyclops by the time he died, which a eulogy was given by Hillary Clinton, who said that he was her favorite person and who basically groomed her for her positions. This is what's dangerous, is when you negate historical fact and you replace it with ideological opinions, You're going to have that one random person who goes to look for truth, and then they find this article, and then they see all the rhetoric that the government spews out, that leftist ideologies and leftist groups consistently talk about, because they can't shut up about racism. They can't shut up about the alt-right being the Nazis, because they can't let that narrative die. Because if it dies, people forget about it, and then they start to lose faith in those people. They have to keep a certain group of people dumbed down and scared enough of their neighbors who have a different complexion of them, so that way they become a more controllable portion of the herd. This guy is contributing to this, but he is standing upon the bones of World War II veterans and victims of the Nazi death camps by doing it. Give me a damn break. This guy, with this article, historically factual, until you talk about his ideology, should be disbanded from the World War II Museum. As a damn veteran of these United States, I'm calling for that. This guy should not be there representing what veterans have done for this country. And he should not be out there touting his lies and shaming anyone who were the victims of Nazis, and then saying, oh yeah, the alt-right, yeah, they're Nazis as well. So, you know, leave your stupidness out of this, man. I don't want to hear it. If you want to be that dumb, go to Portland. They'll listen to you. You can walk along the streets and shamble like a drunken vampire like the rest of those degenerates out there. There's plenty of needles on the ground. Inject yourself, buddy. Smoke some heroin. You know, whatever it is that you want to go do. It's all legal in Portland now anyways. That communist dystopia. Go tout your lies over there. But for the rest of America who cares about World War II, who cared about the victims of World War II, who cared about the veterans of World War II, this is gross negligence. Anyways, let's go on to another article real quick. In fact, what we're going to do is we're going to take a break. I got to get some fresh air. We'll be right back.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, you will own nothing and you will love it. And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in free fall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have, access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position, really for the first time in our history. We're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer. Ready-Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it, Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809.
All right, we're back. Well, sometimes I just get a little frustrated with some of these things that I read. I'm quite surprised by the hubris of some people. Once again, let's talk about hubris. It's an article from InfoWars. Black Lives Matter media darling who allegedly shot politician campaigned against gun violence was named as a rising face by Barack Obama's foundation. Black Lives Matter activist Quintez Brown, who previously enjoyed a prominent platform thanks to legacy media outlets, allegedly attempted to shoot dead a politician after campaigning against gun violence. Yes, really. Brown was arrested in Louisville yesterday with a 9mm pistol and several magazines following the attempted murder of Democrat mayoral candidate Craig Greenberg at his campaign headquarters. The suspect's bail was set at $100,000 and was almost immediately paid by a Black Lives Matter front group called the Louisville Community Bail Fund to secure the alleged gunman's release. The $100,000 cashier check has been officially given to the clerk's office to pay the BLM Louisville activist Quintez Brown's release at Lucom Bail Fund is paying. So that's a tweet from Rachel Droz TV. And this guy, Brown, is accused of shooting at a mayoral candidate, a politician. An attempted political assassination. The man's let out the same day. Within hours. And we sit here and we wonder why we have problems in America. And I see this young white lady who's has this whatever kind of shirt that she's wearing. I don't know, some sort of a nationalistic movement shirt. I'm so sick of these people. Don't cry foul. Do not cry foul, Democratic cities, when your ethnic populations are being murdered on the streets and then the murderers are immediately released for bail. But does that pertain to everybody? Or does that pertain to this guy because he was released almost immediately for bail by this BLM-backed GoFundMe? The hubris is just outstanding to look at. The man tried to kill, politically assassinate somebody, and he's immediately released. What if he tries to go and do it again and he succeeds? What then? Moving on. The 21-year-old activist was named as a rising face by Barack Obama's foundation in 2019 and previously featured as a venerated BLM speaker on numerous mainstream news outlets, including the BBC. As a result of his making several appearances on the network, Guido Fox described Brown, Quintez Brown, as the BBC's go-to U.S. Black Lives Matter activist. Brown was also an ardent gun control campaigner and repeatedly spoke out against gun violence. Oh, the irony. Here he left a few tweets for us to read. Kentucky's concealed carry law shows your life doesn't matter to gun-loving Republicans. And also, activist Quintez Brown named an attempted shooting of the Louisville mayoral candidate Greenberg. It's astonishing to me. This, and once again, let's listen to another lie. Gun violence reveals the interconnected nature of our reality. What affects one directly affects all indirectly, especially in our segregated conditions, said Quintez Brown in a tweet. The activist was standing as an independent candidate for election to the Louisville Council in District 5 of the city. So he himself was running for politics. Ah, all right. Brown's attorney, Robert Eggert, attempted to pin the blame for the alleged shooting on the suspect's mental health issues. Police say there is no known motive. I love it how every time one of these deranged lunatics gets out, They say, oh, well, he's mentally unwell. Well, yeah, he tried to kill a guy. I mean, you know, even the person who gets extraordinarily pissed off at a situation might cuss you out, might push you, might threaten to whoop you, but typically doesn't try to kill you, especially politically motivated. This is what's funny, though. Oh, the irony. This man caught red-handed trying to kill a Democratic politician, released immediately on bail. People in January 6th at the Capitol building dare walk among the sacred halls and smoke some weed and talk a little trash. And then they are hounded by federal agents for months and then imprisoned indefinitely, it seems, in isolation until they learn their lesson. Oh, the hubris. Greenberg described what happened during the harrowing attack on Monday. This is the political candidate that almost got killed. He said, we asked if we could help him, and he pulled out a gun, aimed it directly at me, and opened fire. He told CNN, I was fortunate that one of my brave teammates slammed the door shut. They were able to throw some desk on top of the door, and the suspect fled. Despite one bullet coming so close that it grazed my sweater and my shirt, no one was physically harmed. The entire story once again illustrates how Black Lives Matter is a violent extremist group which attracts people like Brown on a routine basis. Oh yeah, it sure does. It definitely does. I've dealt with these people for years. I've dealt with these political extremists, these people who have these extremist ideologies. And here's the thing, you know, and once again, let me go down memory lane. During all my various operations in Portland and in, you know, Dallas and elsewhere dealing with Antifa, they all had the same MO. Chaos, destruction of property, vandalism, graffiti everywhere, lewdness, the I guess you could say childlike behavior from adults. You know, I would expect this temper tantrum from schizophrenics, but not everyday Americans. What they seek is carnage. They think that, you know, every time, they must think that every time they're allowed off the leash, I guess, that it's time to go play bad guys in the city and, you know, cops and robbers, that they can just do whatever they want and then there's no repercussions. Obviously, Quintez Brown can try to kill a guy. You know what that's called? It's called attempted murder. It's a felony. It's almost considered capital punishment in some states if you had killed the guy. But he gets let off. String cut. Bam. Just like that. Now he's off. Now he's in the public again. This deranged lunatic. Ladies and gentlemen, we are writing the sagas of our history right now. What songs will they sing in the future about us? What epic poems and novels will be wrote to describe the history of America 2022 and beyond? Can we recover from this? Will this epidemic of violence in America stop? Or will we be forced to seek shelter every time one of these lunatics are out? You know, here's the funny thing about this guy saying that he doesn't want guns on the streets. Well, let me tell you a little bit of a secret, wink wink, that we cops know. When the government takes all the guns, deranged lunatics, like yourself, Quintez Brown, always find the guns. The only ones who will have the guns will be the military, the cops, the security for the politicians, of course, and the bigwig Hollywood people, and then the criminals. There is a black market out there for guns in every city. Every single city. Most of it revolves around drugs. Most of it revolves around ethnic communities. But don't think you can't go out to the country where I live and just start asking around, hey, I got $1,000. Anyone sell me a gun? You'll find that one guy, he'll do it. You know, this is the insanity that we live in right now. I'm just very taken aback because stuff like this is what our government should be focusing on. People like this, the Black Lives Matter movement, which is a devout extremist communist movement, who honestly, what they want is black nationalism along with communism. I've heard them say it. I'm sure you've heard them say it. You know, there's nothing godly about it at all. And there's nothing American about it. If anything, why do we allow the division? Why is it that the German-American Bund was disbanded, outlawed by 1942 by the federal government? Well, because they had Nazi ties. Okay. Okay, but that was only year two into getting into that war with them. These communists have been at war with America since prior World War II. And yet we still let these groups and their deranged fanatical followers, we still let them practice, I guess you could say, their form of politics. And their form of politics involves gasoline and fire and death. Burn, loot, and murder. There's another form of politics out there. One heard around the world back in the 1700s. A couple good old boys with some muskets stood against a tyrannical government and said that they refused to be scared into submission. They refused to be ruled by fear. And through righteous rebellion, they won their freedom. America, this is our saga. We are coming on the cusp of needing that righteous indignation again. But I warn you, do not be led by hate. Do not be led by fear. The Lord did not give us a spirit of fear. Do not be led by racism. God made all men and women. We are all the image of Him. So that means if God's creations are perfect, then every single one of us, black, white, yellow, purple, red, green, lizard people that live underneath the ice, we are all created in His image, well, except for the lizard people, or the people who try to look like lizard people. Boy, that's a weird fad. They want to corrupt everything that is holy and wholesome. They want you to turn against each other. They want you to look at your brother, at your neighbor, and say, you are different than me because of insert ideological statement. And thus, we are enemies. That is how Satan divides. If we all stand up together now, we can combat this. We may not be able to spare the hands of time and God's judgment upon this country or upon our government. But within our own communities, our own family lines, abolishing curses that have been put upon us, we can save ourselves. And that's what we need to focus on. God will take care of all this other stuff. Don't you worry about that one. And it'll happen on His time. The important thing to note is that Satan wants you to do it now, right now. He wants you to take your pitchforks and your tar and your feathers and go grab someone that you disagree with and lynch them. That's what Satan wants you to do. And that's what all of his little children from the Democratic Party and on, to include plenty of Republican politicians, that's what he wants you to do. Don't listen to the fear. Don't give in rebuke this in the name of Jesus. And if you have any fleeting feeling of racism in your heart, you are wrong. So anyways, we will see you tomorrow. We're going to have Bob Griswold on. And we're going to talk about some things that's probably going to scare the hell out of you. So stay tuned for that. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. Thank you to everyone who supports me. If you like what you hear, please spread it. That's the best way that we get this out there. I'm going to pray for every one of you. And I hope that you're always found in the right place at the right time and never the wrong place at the wrong time. Thank you, everyone, for listening. My name is Doug Thornton. You have been listening to American Vindicta. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.